If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I am not super privy to what is going on in the public eye of the body of Christ right now, but something that is particularly irritating to me is when we start spiraling like this and it turns into a reality TV show. And the only thing that I can think of is I wish people would just get in their word and stop paying attention to the circus. And this is not me being judgmental, but we have to understand, I've said before, the enemy is after our attention. The enemy is after your attention. The enemy does not have to do a lot of work if he can steal your attention. Because if he steals your attention, he can waste your time without ever doing anything. And I'm not saying that it's not important to understand when somebody is at fault or when somebody is leading people astray. But what I'm saying is note it and move forward. This entire idea that we have to have think pieces every time you open one of these apps, somebody's talking about this lady and the beef between this person and this person. Did you hear what this person is saying? There's entire ministries devoted to exposing people. And that's not problematic because, again, I do believe that we need and God has placed people in front of us for warning before destruction. I do believe that we need leadership and headship and discipleship, true discipleship. We need that fellowship. We need to have iron sharpening iron. And sometimes that requires for us to call things out and say it as it is. But what I'm saying is everybody having a think piece about discourse within the community, I just know not all of these people need to be opening their mouth and offering up an opinion. Not all of these people need to be saying anything, because sometimes you don't realize that if you're just saying things because it's trendy or because it's the hot topic, you are inviting people to then join the community of going back and forth, arguing with each other, doing all of these things. And that's not doing anything except directing people away from the whole point. We should not have our eyes on each other more than we have our eyes on the Father. And I feel as though, just like regular content, this entire thing, when we start talking about, like, we as a whole in Christianity, as the body of Christ, do not benefit when we have discord about, did you hear what this person said? Did you see what that person said? Oh my goodness. And I'm getting to a point where, again, I'm realizing we need to collectively just read our Bibles, because part of the reason that so many of us are deceived in the first place and so heartbroken when you find out the truth about these people is because you're not in the Word for yourself. It's because you're not taking the time to be intimate and to understand what it looks like to see something that is true. And you're going based on your feelings, and you're letting people and leaders and prophets and all of these people tell you what is in God's word without ever hearing it. And I will give you an example of a pastor who, and I won't say specifically, but just to give you an example, if you listen to a message and, for instance, let's say we're in the book of Genesis and a pastor says something about the Garden of Eden, and he talks about how they were being gluttonous, and that's how we ended up where we are, and that was the issue. If you actually read the word for yourself, you know what happened with Adam and Eve was not, it was so much more than gluttony. It was not, you're full, don't eat from that tree. It was not even, don't eat that apple, because there is no apple mentioned, right? And I'm just saying that to make the point. It was not about, you're full, don't eat that tree, don't be greedy. That's not what the message was, right? And so if you listen to something like that and you've already read your word, then you know, well, okay, that don't even sound right. I don't know if I'm about to listen to that. But the problem that we have is we don't take the time to do that. We don't take the time to read the word. And I'm not even saying every time you listen to a sermon, you are not going to know in full context what that scripture is about. But we have to take on the responsibility of when we're exposed to these things and you listen to a sermon, you go sit with what was said in that sermon and you take it back to the word. You study. And a lot of times I talk about this a lot where I say we've gotten to a place where we're so lazy, not just in Christianity, but in general, in society, we are so lazy that we don't want to do anything. So it's even too much to sit down and to read the Bible and to sit with it, because a lot of times the excuse is, well, I don't understand what's being said. Okay, get a copy that you can understand. The translation, as much as everybody's always talking about what translation is best, you don't have time to be a part of that conversation if you've never even cracked your Bible open. If it is too difficult for you to understand what is going on in the King James Version, get a different Bible. Get something that you can understand and then just be comfortable using additional passages or additional text as a resource. But we cannot, this is not the time to be lazy in your faith. This is not the time to be swept away by charisma and theatrics. This is just not the time. And I think a lot of us, we just want people to hold our hands. We don't want growth. We want to be able to take an entire think piece and just make it so easy to digest. We want somebody to explain everything to us. When sometimes that mystique, that mystery, that confusion, the process of having to fast and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray and still nothing. Let me fast and pray some more. We can't even get there because we're so impatient. And I was talking about how this is something that's so important for us to realize about how the enemy is really after your attention, because it impacts everything. It impacts your prayer life. It impacts the amount of time that you're willing to dedicate. It impacts your ability to see things through. We don't have the patience in these apps, in this short-term content, in this constant dopamine hit and satisfaction that we get from this online presence that we live in. Is not making it any easier for us. We don't have the patience and we give up far too easily. You don't have the patience to say, I just read this chapter and I have no idea what this is about. You got to go ask ChatGPT. What does this mean? Which is insane. Insane. Y'all know AI is a work of the enemy. So to take... It's insane. I'm not saying that you can't use AI either. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we cannot continue to mix things that are holy and meant to be food for us and taking it back to AI, artificial intelligence. But as I said, you'll take something that you don't quite understand and your first thing is to go ask Google or ask the internet. And that's how far removed we are from the word and from what God tells us to do, because we even told that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And we don't even think about the severity of that statement. We don't even think about the fact that that is something that is directing us immediately back to the Bible. That is from the Bible telling us to get more into the Bible, because where do you get the knowledge? Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. There is nothing that we will pray for or pray to understand. There's no wisdom that we can ask God for and he won't give it to us. The problem is we live in popcorn, microwave society, and we want things right now. We want everything right now. We cannot fathom waiting. If we don't get an answer right away, we're going to take matters into our own hands. And God simply does not work on our schedule. He is God. We are not. And it's so sad. It's so sad because when you think about it, most of us have to admit that we're really not after the heart of God. And if you're listening to this, I am not being just remember, I don't know you personally. Just always remember that when I'm speaking through this phone. And that's not me backing away from the responsibility of what I'm saying. But I want you to know, I don't know you personally. This is not a one-on-one conversation where I'm calling you out. If what I'm saying stings, that's conviction. Don't run from it. Take it to God in prayer. That's the best thing that I can say. But I find that we have such a hard time with this because we're always looking for somebody to give us something. We're always looking for somebody to hand package everything for us. We're so lazy. The number of times that I read something online, like me in a video, I read something. Y'all, I promise, I put book titles are always in the caption. I show the book in the video. Even if I don't show the book is in frame. You can look to see what I'm reading. You can check the caption. But it never fails. There's always someone like, hey, what's the name of the book? Like someone typed an entire think piece essay about how it's necessary in literature to, as an expert in something, and in literature, it's always appropriate to put the name of the book and the author, and you should always do that. And I was amazed that someone with such a decorated literary background didn't even check the caption of the video before they wrote that entire essay about something that I should do that I had already done. And again, it's just, we are so reactive. Everything sets us off. We can't shut up long enough to think and to understand what other people are saying, let alone sit with the word of God. Most of us are like, oh, it's boring. Okay. And now what? You have to train your brain to not be a peanut. You do. And I didn't even really want to go into all of this in this particular podcast. I just wanted to make the point about how we have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to turn away from wickedness so that we can hear from God. We have to. And so many of us will make every excuse to not be better and to not do the things that we know that we're supposed to do. And that's why we stay in these cycles. That's why we're constantly with our hand out, reaching for, well, I need a word. I need to hear this. Oh, God has given me a word on this app. And we think that everybody that gets on these apps and in front of us and says something is from God, to the point where when somebody does make a video, and I'm talking about people that God has spoken to and said, put that video out. Because not everybody that you see, God told them to do it. But people, when they make a video and they call things out and they say, this is wrong, this is not right, you get people defending the foolishness, defending the degeneracy, talking about how they're people of God. And my question is, how would you know what a person of God looks like if you don't even know the fruit of the Spirit? If you don't even know what it means for a person to be of God, how would you know that a person is a person of God if you don't watch their fruit? Because we know them by their fruit. We don't know them by their yep. We don't know them by their prose poetry about the Bible. We don't know them by their motivational speeches from the pulpit. We know them by their fruit. And we have to take more responsibility for the things that we allow to be in front of us, for the things that we accept as truth. And if it wasn't necessary, y'all, for us to be responsible for that and for our own knowledge of these things, it would not have been written in the Bible, take heed that no man deceive you. That is instruction. That's saying, hey, warning, there's going to be deception. Make sure you don't get caught up and swept away in it. And the thing is, it's like we outsource our growth to strangers on the internet. We outsource our growth to our pastors. We outsource our growth to some spiritual leader. You hear somebody say something that sounds good and you never run it back against the scripture. And this is how it happens. This is how it happens. One of the most common examples we see is what we call prosperity gospel, which I will say there is nothing inherently wrong with prosperity. The problem is when all that is being taught is prosperity, because God is love, but he also has wrath. God is gentle, but he also has judgment, just like any other earthly parent. A good parent is going to discipline you and applaud you. When you do well, well done, my child. When you do not so much, we need to tighten that up. There's going to be punishment or there's going to be consequences. And we have to realize that everything is not cupcakes and rainbows. Everything is not a good word from our God. Everything is not like that. There are promises, yes, but there are also things that we are expected to do, not for salvation, but because we love God. And this is another thing that I think sometimes we don't really think it through when we have this conversation where people say, oh, you don't need to do any of this. You just need to love God. And yes, you do love God. You don't work for your salvation. It's not possible for you to work for your salvation, because if you were working for your salvation, there's a potential for you to be able to boast. You can't say, I did all of these things and I'm so good and now I'm going to heaven. That's not how it works. However, there are things that you do because you love Yah. And I hope that that makes sense. I'm not doing anything because I think that what I do and my actions are going to earn me a spot and earn my salvation. However, just like if I am a child of my earthly father and I love my dad and my dad takes good care of me and my dad loves me, as a child who loves my father, I am going to be obedient to my father. Not because of anything other than I love him, and that is what love of my father is. It's being obedient and extending that appreciation for him taking care of me. Right? That increases his affection for me, sure. But that does not necessarily mean that, oh, because my child is so obedient, I'm going to meet her basic needs. He's going to meet my basic needs anyway. Right? But so it's not so much that you have to do something to earn your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we have a responsibility. And if there is a Bible, there's a good chance you should be using it. Because if you weren't supposed to be using it, I'm sure it wouldn't be available to you. And so I'm not telling you never listen to anybody online. I'm not telling you never talk, never engage in these conversations or watch a video or two. But I'm saying that everything that you watch, you should be checking it against the word. You should be taking it back to God in prayer. Every message that you hear, every word from God, everything about Jesus and Yahuwah and anything that you see somebody talking about as a leader, as a member of the church, as an authority figure, you should be taking those things back to God in prayer to make sure that you're not being deceived. And it would be apparent to you. And so a lot of times, you know, people find themselves asking questions of other people when really you need to ask those questions to God. And again, it goes back to this misunderstanding, because when we say, oh, you need to go sit with God and pray about those things, it's not, people are not being condescending or snarky. People are trying to help you, but you refuse to be helped because God doesn't answer you audibly right now. Yes, my child, this is what you should do. You're just like, oh, well, God's not listening. I can't hear. I don't know. That's not working. What do you think I should do? Even sometimes when you see somebody, like even me, like I might say something. Again, I don't know anybody personally. So if I make a video and I say your problem is you're doing this, this, and this, I don't know you, Chanel, who lives on 23 Oak Street, from a can of paint. I'm just talking, and I know that it's a message that needed to get out for the right person to hear it. You don't take it upon yourself to ask me further questions about what you should do in your personal life. You take that, you let that conviction hit you, you let that seed sit inside of you, and then you go to God about that. This happens a lot, too, when I talk about relationships. The people, oh, what about this? Well, what if this happened? And what if that happened? Sis, what if it did? What if you actually went and took that concern to God? What if you asked him, who knows more about your situation than I ever will, what you should do? And what if you cried out to him instead of typing your questions on the internet and asking random people who don't even know you? What if? What do we think would happen if we took more responsibility for that? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Again, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.